fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with American-style football. The New England Patriots will play the Los Angeles Rams in Super Bowl 53 on February 3rd in Atlanta, Georgia. The Patriots and the Rams won their conference championship games on Sunday, and for the first time in National Football League history, both games went to overtime. In the AFC championship game, the Patriots beat the host Kansas City Chiefs 37-31 in overtime, and the Rams also won on the road, beating the New Orleans Saints 26-23 in overtime. The AP's Denny Kapp reports from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Greg Zuerlein boots a 57-yard field goal in overtime to send the Rams to Super Bowl 53 as they clip the Saints 26-23. Zuerlein's field goal came on the heels of Rams safety John Johnson intercepting Drew Brees on New Orleans' opening drive of the extra session. Rams coach Sean McVay.
There was an expectation, there was a belief that we were coming in here not to just compete with them, but to come win the football game. And we knew it was going to be a great challenge, but the guys stayed the course.
New Orleans raced out to a 13-0 first quarter lead and carried a 10-point lead through the late stages of the third. An apparent missed pass interference call led to Saints kicker Will Lutz kicking a go-ahead field goal with a minute 41 to go in regulation. That left enough time for Zuerlein to connect on the equalizer with 15 seconds to go in the fourth. I'm Denny Kapp.
Thanks, Denny. Now let's go to Kansas City, where the Patriots advanced to their ninth Super Bowl in the past 18 seasons. All nine of New England's Super Bowl appearances have come with Tom Brady as quarterback and Bill Belichick as head coach. Brady once again played a big role on Sunday, as we hear now from the AP's Pete Robinson in Kansas City.
The Patriots will score off against the Rams in Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta after getting past the Chiefs in overtime 37-31. The Patriots won the overtime coin toss and drove 75 yards down the field to tally the game winner on a 2-yard run by Rex Burkhead. Pats quarterback Tom Brady threw for 348 yards in the winning effort.
Played really well today, and we're going to need one more great game. So that was a pretty great way to end it. I was probably as excited as I've been in a long time.
The Chiefs forced the overtime with a 39-yard Harrison Butker field goal with 8 seconds to play in regulation. Pete Robinson, Kansas City.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And here are some Super Bowl fun facts for our VOA listeners. Super Bowl 53 will be a rematch of Super Bowl 36 when the Patriots defeated the Rams 20-17 in New Orleans, Louisiana. The Rams were then based in St. Louis. And that Super Bowl trophy was the first of 5 won by the Patriots. And one more Super Bowl fun fact. The most valuable player of Super Bowl 36 back in 2002 was none other than the current Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady. Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at some of the weekend highlights in European club football. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Arsenal revived their hopes of a top-4 finish with first-half goals by Alexandre Lacazette and Laurent Koscielny, securing a comfortable 2-0 derby win at home to Chelsea. Victory, only Arsenal's third at home in the league against Chelsea in 10 years, moved the Gunners to within 3 points of fourth-place Chelsea and back above Manchester United. And talking about Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer became the first Manchester United manager to win his first 6 league games in charge as his side held on to beat Brighton 2-1. French midfielder of Guinean descent Paul Pogba put United in front after winning and then converting a penalty in the 27th minute. Marcus Rashford doubled the lead just before halftime with a beautiful solo goal on his 150th appearance for the club. Pascal Gross halved the deficit for the visitors by scoring the consolation goal, with just over 20 minutes remaining. The win ensured Solskjaer became the third manager in Premier League history to win his first six games in charge of a club, after Carlo Ancelotti with Chelsea and Pep Guardiola with Manchester City.
Prince, still with the English Premier League, I understand Liverpool and Egypt's two-time African Footballer of the Year, Mohamed Salah, had another notable achievement over the weekend.
That's right, Sonny. The 26-year-old who won the EPL Golden Boot last season with 32 goals is now the league's top scorer in this campaign after finding the net 16 times. Salah scored twice in a thrilling 4-3 win for Liverpool against Crystal Palace to take his tally to 50 goals during the weekend. Sonny, only three players, Andy Cole after 65 games, Alan Shearer after 66 games, and Ruud van Nistelrooy after 68 games, have reached the landmark in as few games as the 72 it has taken Salah to notch his half century. Roberto Firmino and Senegal Benjamin Sadio Mane also added on to the tally to extend Liverpool's lead at the top of the table to 4 points. Manchester City also scored their 100th goal of the season as they eased past managerless Huddersfield, while Harry Winks's first goal since 2016 handed Tottenham a last-gasp 2-1 victory at Fulham.
Prince, any updates on players moving recently during this European transfer window?
Sure, Sonny. There are quite a few notable completed transfers in the Premier League as of now. Senegalese professional footballer Oumar Niasse has been loaned out to Cardiff by Everton, while Fulham have signed former Liverpool winger Ryan Babel from Turkish side Besiktas. The 32-year-old Dutch international, who spent 3.5 years at Anfield, has joined the club until the end of the season. Cardiff have also confirmed the signing of Argentinian striker Emiliano Sala from Nantes for a club record fee in the region of $19 million. We'll keep you up to date on the latest comings and goings across the Premier League as they happen right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. On the Voice of America, Prince Nesta is looking at some of the weekend highlights in European club football. Prince, let's go to France now. Can you give us some details about top-of-the-table PSG's record-equaling victory?
Right on, Sonny. Edinson Cavani and Kylian Mbappe scored hat-tricks as league leaders Paris Saint-Germain crushed bottom club going up 9-0. Neymar also netted twice, while Thomas Meunier was also on target as PSG avenged Guingamp's League Cup quarter-final win earlier this month. The rout equaled PSG's record league win 9-0 away to Troyes in 2016, when Zlatan Ibrahimovic was the star. PSG, which has a huge tally of 62 goals in 19 games, is now 13 points ahead of second-place Lille with 2 matches in hand. French striker of Malian descent Moussa Dembele scored with a majestic header 5 minutes into injury time as Lyon won 2-1 at Saint-Étienne, leapfrogging its local rivals into third place in the French league. Marseille scrapped a 1-0 win at Caen, moving 1 point behind sixth place Montpellier, which drew 0-0 at Rennes. Cesc Fabregas had a home debut to forget for Monaco, as Thierry Henry's side were well beaten by Strasbourg 5-1. The result left Monaco second from bottom of the league on 15 points from 21 games and still without a home victory in the French league this season. And finally, in Spain, Barcelona restored their 5-point lead at the top of La Liga with a 3-1 win over Leganés at the Camp Nou, while a long-range shot by Casemiro and a late goal by Luka Modric helped Real Madrid avoid another setback at home in the Spanish league, leading the team to a 2-0 victory against Sevilla. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African football news is Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with a wrap of the results from matches played in the CAF Champions League this past weekend. Al Ahly fought back to hold JS Saoura to a 1-1 draw in the 2018-2019 CAF Champions League Group D match at the Stade du 20/1995 in Algeria. At the Ismaili Stadium, the match between host Ismaili and Tunisian opponents Club African was abandoned over crowd trouble. The Cameroonian referee halted the match in stoppage time after sections of the crowd hurled bottles on the pitch. Elsewhere in South Africa, Mamelodi Sundowns are on board in Group A of the CAF Champions League after defeating Wydad Casablanca 2-1 at the Lucas Moripe Stadium on Saturday night. Pitso Musimane is Mamelodi Sundowns' coach.
We beat them on fair play. We beat them on the game. We had two number 10s. They could not deal with us the way when we moved the ball around. And this is what I said to the boys. I said, the way we play, they can't deal with it. So we got 10s. We controlled the game from the minute one. We could have scored one or two bad decision-making again that came on against Maritzburg. I'm happy for the team. We played well. The 12th man is there. We are home. We control everything.
In all the results, Ivory Coast's ASEC Mimosa picked up their first win with a slender 1-0 win over Nigeria's Lobi Stars in Group A. CS Constantine made a major statement in Group C, thrashing TP Mazembe 3-0 at the Mohamed Halomi Stadium on Saturday night. Tanzania's Simba SC suffered their first loss after DRC's AS Vita Club thrashed them 5-0 in the Group D game, while Tunisia's Esperance of Tunis earned their first win in Group B with a 2-0 win over Zimbabwe's FC Platinum. The result, combined with Esperance 1-1 draw against Horoya last weekend, sees them on 4 points from 2 matches, while Platinum are bottom of the group with 1 point following their goalless draw against Orlando Pirates last week. In women's football, Netherlands maintained their dominance over South Africa with a hard-fought 2-1 win at the Cape Town Stadium. Meanwhile, coach Desiree Ellis put her team through their paces on Sunday morning as the team prepares for their next match against Sweden. The team are said to be in high spirits despite losing 2-1 to Netherlands on Saturday. Leandra Semenda is Bayana midfielder.
I think these games that we're getting with the likes of Netherlands and Sweden, it's important for us. They are also World Cup qualifying teams, so it gives us a taste of what we're going to expect at the World Cup.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In Australian Open tennis action Monday, American star Serena Williams eliminated world number one Simona Halep of Romania in 3 sets to advance to the quarterfinals. Craig Gabriel reports from Melbourne on Monday's highlights, and Craig also looks ahead to Tuesday's big matches.
It had been a couple of years since Serena Williams had played Simona Halep, and this was the first time Halep took on Williams as the world number one. The American started superbly, winning 6 consecutive games after dropping serve in the first game.
Yeah, I played really good in that. I don't know if it's the best that I've played because I just honestly can't remember the matches, but probably. But that goes to show you that you have to play well for 2 sets. You can't play well for just 1 set or 6 games. You have to bring it every single point every single game until the match is literally over.
She then went up a break in the second before Halep staged her fight back. The match was tight till the latter stages of the third when Serena decided to change gears and close things out 6-1, 4-6, 6-4, and this was her 9th win from 10 matches with Halep. It's 6 years since Williams has beaten a world number one, and there's a simple reason for that. For most of that time, she's been world number one. Williams will next play Karolina Pliskova. Novak Djokovic closed out talented Russian Daniil Medvedev in 4 sets and will take on Kei Nishikori, who came back to beat Pablo Carreño Busta in a 5th set 10-point tiebreak. Milos Raonic dominated Alexander Zverev for the second time, 6-1, 6-1, 7-6.
Yeah, you sort of try to take things as they come. You know that he's going to make a push. He's going to try to do things a little bit differently in that 3rd set. And I think I handled it well. There weren't really any opportunities either way until that 4-5 game, and then I had one legitimate opportunity. Maybe I would have liked to have done things differently if things didn't work out. But overall, I'm happy with how I dealt with numerous situations throughout the match and how I played. And I think I did some things extremely well.
The young German certainly released his frustrations, which were taken out on an unsuspecting tennis racket, which will never be able to be used again.
This is one of many tournaments, so you can't really compete every single week saying, oh, you made semis there or quarters there, and I got to beat that. No, you know, obviously, I want to be the best, but not this week.
Next up for Raonic will be Luka Pui. Japanese Naomi Osaka rallied from a set down to stop Anastasia Savastova, and Elena Svitolina also advanced. Melbourne, the host city of the Australian Open, has one of the biggest, if not the biggest, populations of Greek people outside of Athens. So while Roger Federer remains a popular player as ever in Australia, the Greek community turned out in force to show their solidarity for Stefanos Tsitsipas when he played the defending champion the previous night. 20-year-old Tsitsipas has been developing quite a following, and it's not surprising. His physique, long hair, personality and ability has seen him referred to as the Greek god. Well, he certainly played like a god when he beat Federer, and now has to reproduce that against Roberto Bautista Agut, who has to be playing on fumes with the number of five setters he's won. This is the first time meeting. Bautista Agut is deep into his career, whereas Stefanos is at the start. It's also a first timer for Rafa Nadal against Francis Tiafo, who's in the early part of his career.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunnyside of Sports on Voice of America.
It's sort of quirky to compare the two. Tiafo has one title and earned about $2 million. Nadal has 80 titles and $103 million and has played about 920 matches. One more first encounter is Danielle Collins, who upset Angie Kerber and playing her first Aussie Open, taking on Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. And then local hopes are with Ash Barty, who faces Petra Kvitova. The Czech leads their series 3-0. And they last played in Sydney a week ago in the final there, Kvitova rallying back to win 1-6, 7-5, 7-6. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sport, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao scored a unanimous decision victory over the weekend against American Adrian Broner to retain his WBA welterweight title. Among those ringside in Las Vegas was American boxing star Floyd Mayweather. And many fight fans are wondering whether Floyd might trade punches again with Pac-Man in a rematch. Our Voice of America boxing fans will remember Floyd Mayweather beat Manny Pacquiao by unanimous decision in 2015 in Las Vegas. Joining us now with an update is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings. Sonny, a Pacquiao-Mayweather rematch might be on hold for now. Pacquiao had hoped to avenge his 2015 defeat over Mayweather in what was then called the fight of the century. But after his decisive victory over Adrian Broner, it's being reported Pacquiao's camp fears he may have suffered a detached retina. The day after the match, Pacquiao complained of pain and vision loss in his left eye. He's scheduled to fly home to the Philippines to have an eye specialist check him out. Pacquiao had no problems putting on a good performance on Saturday, although he didn't really need to work hard for it. The two fighters went the distance and there were no knockouts, but Pacquiao landed his punches by a more than 2-1 margin. Broner, on the other hand, never landed more than 7 punches in any round. When the fight was over, Broner stood in front of a booing crowd and insisted he was robbed of victory, saying, "I beat him. Everyone out there knows I beat him." But it was obvious the match wasn't even close. 40-year-old Pacquiao defeated his 29-year-old opponent by a unanimous decision to retain the welterweight title. The day before, at the weigh-in, Pacquiao said he had a lot to prove in his match against Broner.
Yes, it's my legacy to give a good fight and to accomplish all this, and especially at age of 40. This is my first fight at age of 40, so I had to prove something that Manny Pacquiao is still there in the path of boxing.
Well, there's not much more for Pacquiao to prove. He has earned a place as one of the best boxers of his generation. Stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports for any updates on the condition of Pacquiao's eye injury and any announcements of an upcoming fight between the Pac-Man and Floyd Mayweather. And that's all from me. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if our Voice of America listeners check out my Facebook page on this Monday, they'll see an action-packed photo by Associated Press photographer John Locker of Manny Pacquiao pressuring Adrian Broner against the ropes in Las Vegas over the weekend. As we just heard from my VOA colleague Gwen Uten, the Pac-Man scored a unanimous decision victory over Broner. Well, my buddy Eddie Manda checks in from Chilila Bombwe, Zambia. Eddie saw that photo of the Pac-Man pummeling Adrian Broner. And Eddie writes from Chilila Bombwe. I love saying that. Chilila Bombwe. Eddie says, "Broner talks too much. The other guy, Pac-Man, lets his punches talk for him." I gotta say, Eddie Manda in Chilila Bombwe speaks the truth. Action speaks louder than words. That's how I responded to Eddie's comments. And the Pac-Man certainly proved that he still has some gas left in his boxing tank. Finally, some more tennis news. Li Na is the first player from Asia elected to the International Tennis Hall of Fame. She joins Yevgeny Kafelnikov of Russia and Mary Pierce from France in the class of 2019. Li retired in 2014 at age 32. She won the 2011 French Open and 2014 Australian Open, making her the first player born in Asia to collect a major singles title and helping grow the sport in her native China. And that wraps up the January 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, We will discuss latest efforts to sustain the Global Fund to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria, the largest global partnership addressing the three diseases. Our guest is Elizabeth Ivanovich, Director for Global Health at the UN Foundation. For your questions or comments, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, some Africans have concerns that Western versions of democracy are being imposed on the continent. Are democratic governments what's best for Africa? We'll discuss the issue on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
A 2012 report by the CDC says 30% of Americans aren't getting enough sleep. A number of studies have reinforced just how important getting a good night's sleep is for your health. But a new report suggests a possible association of a late stillbirth with women who tend to get more than 9 hours of undisturbed sleep each night during pregnancy. The study's lead author, Louise O'Brien of the University of Michigan, says pregnant women often report waking and getting up several times in the middle of the night. She says that while some might be concerned with having their sleep disturbed, in the context of stillbirth, these sleep interruptions appears to be protective. O'Brien and her fellow authors stress that further research is needed to better understand the connection between long periods of uninterrupted sleep and what it means for a pregnant woman. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.